माधव हरे। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन बालव गिरिवर धरि, गोपी जन बालव गिरिवर धरि। यशोद नंदन व्रज जनरंजन, यशोद नंदन व्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीर मन चारि, यमुना तीर मन चारि, जय राधा माधव कुंजाबी हरि। जय राधा माधव कुंजाबी हरि। गोपी जन बालव गिरिवर धरि, गोपी जन बालव गिरिवर धरि, यशोद नंदन व्रज जनरंजन, यशोद नंदन व्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीर मन चारि, यमुना तीर मन चारि, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे। Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Haribo, 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 Haribo. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Shyama Sundara Ki Jai Rantaraja Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaura Premanande All grace to the assembly of devotees All grace to the assembly of devotees All grace to the assembly of devotees All grace to Shri Guru and Shri Gaura Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupagaramayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanta Kalpatarupyascha Kripa Sindhubyevacha Patitanam Avanevyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivatsari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim gasam Tato jayamudirayet Nashta prayeshva vadreshu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6. We're beginning Chapter 7, called Indra Offends His Spiritual Master Brihaspati. We'll read the chapter summary first, and then chant text number 1 together, and read. There's a short purport to the first verse. Summary is as follows. As related in this chapter, Indra, the king of heaven, committed an offense at the feet of his spiritual master, Brihaspati. Brihaspati therefore left the demigods, who then had no priest. However, at the request of the demigods, Vishvarupa, the son of the Brahmana Tushta, became their priest. That's the summary of the summary. Now comes the expansion of that. Once upon a time, Indra, the king of the demigods, was sitting with his wife, Sachi Devi, and being praised by various demigods like the Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas, when trouble started. Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, entered the assembly. Indra, being too absorbed in material opulence, forgot himself and did not respect Brihaspati, who thus became aware of Indra's pride in his material opulence, and immediately disappeared from the assembly to teach him a lesson. Indra became most repentant, understanding that because of his opulence he had forgotten to respect his spiritual master. He left the palace to beg pardon from his spiritual master, but could not find Brihaspati anywhere. Because of his disrespectful behavior toward his spiritual master, Indra lost all his opulence and was conquered by the demons, who defeated the demigods in a great fight and occupied Indra's throne. King Indra, along with the other demigods, later took shelter of Lord Brahma. Understanding the situation, Lord Brahma chastised the demigods for their offense to their spiritual master. Following Lord Brahma's orders, the demigods accepted Vishvarupa, who was a Brahmana and the son of Tushta, as their priest. Then they performed yajñas under the priesthood of Vishvarupa and were able to conquer the demons. So that's what we're hearing about in this chapter. Okay, text number 1, let's go to the word for word first. Shri Raja Uvacha. The king inquired, Kasya Heto. For what reason? Parityakta. Rejected. Acharyena. By the spiritual master Brihaspati. Atmana. Of himself. Sura. All the demigods. Etat. This. Achaksha. Kindly describe. Bhagavan. O great sage. Shukadev Goswami. Shishana. Of the disciples. Akramam. The offense. Guru, unto the spiritual master. Okay, Sri Rajovacha. Kasya heto parityakta. Kasya heto parityakta. Acharyen atmanasura. Acharyen atmanasura. Etat achakshva bhagavan. Etat achakshva bhagavan. Chishyanam akramanguro. Chishyanam akramanguro. Sri Rajovacha. Kasya heto parityakta. Acharyen atmanasura. Etat achakshva bhagavan. Chishyanam akramanguro. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Maharaja Parikshit inquired from Sugadeva Goswami, O great sage, why did the spiritual master of the demigods, Brihaspati, reject the demigods who were his own disciples? What offense did the demigods commit against their spiritual master? Please describe to me this incident. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Saptame guruna tyaktai devair daitya parajitai Vishvarupo gurutvena vrito brahmopadeshataha. This seventh chapter describes how Brihaspati was offended by the demigods how he left them and the demigods were defeated, and how the demigods, following the instructions of Lord Brahma, accepted Vishvarupa as the priest to perform their sacrifice. And so ends this purport, which is simply a translation of Vishvanath Chakravarti Thakur's summary of the chapter. So we've heard a summary in the beginning, and I believe these summaries, chapter summaries that we have beginning with fourth canto, were written by BBT editors, or were they written by Srila Prabhupada? I'm not sure. Does anyone know? Oh. Said they were written by Prabhupada. Okay. All right. So, beginning with this verse, we're opening up a new series of episodes, really. A kind of, a series of actions and reactions. In a sense, this chapter and further chapters after this are, one might say, an illustration of the general topic of karma, how karma works in its negative function. Actions bring about reactions. And of course, the word karma comes to mean not only action, but also reaction. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna confesses, so to say, that the whole topic of action, kim karma kim akarneti kavayopi atra mohita, he says, it's all very bewildering. And so to understand topics of this sort, which are difficult to understand in abstract ways, the scripture gives us help by narrations, by telling us, well, hear about this and you'll get the point. So if we hear about Lord Indra and how he blew it, as we say, and we get an idea about consequences of actions which are not, which are thoughtless. That's one way to put it. So Maharaj Parikshit is inquiring. He is the main inquirer of the Bhagavatam, and he's asking, kasya hetoho parityakta acharyenatmana suraha. Why is it? What is the cause? Hetu. What is the cause for the rejection, parityakta, of the suras, the devatas, the demigods, acharyena, by their acharya? This is very strange. Why would the acharya for the demigods abandon them? Tyakta, parityakta. Pari, the prefix can mean comprehensive in all respects, not just tyakta, but parityakta. He really abandoned them. Meaning, perhaps we can take it here as indicating that by his leaving them, not only was he physically walking out, but by his leaving them, there would come so many terrible results for them. They would be left not only without an acharya, but without a priest, by which they would be able to... The priest, in this understanding, is he who protects and defends and provides the possibility for the community to retain its strength, and therefore to ward off, in this case, material dangers, the attacks of the demons. So kasya heto, what is this all about? This is very strange. Why would Brihaspati abandon his charge, those whom he is protecting? For a moment we might consider, whom else than the demigods is Brihaspati the master or spiritual master of? Someone well known in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Anyone want to recall? there's a very important associate of Lord Krishna whose spiritual master, I'm giving hints now, whose spiritual master is Brihaspati. Uddhava, yes. Yes. Uddhava is a very intimate associate of Lord Krishna. One might think, oh, so Krishna is the spiritual master. No, Brihaspati is the spiritual master of Uddhava. But, of course, Lord Krishna will act as guru for Uddhava in that sense that he will guide him to have a certain experience by which he will become further spiritual advanced than he already is. And he directs him to what we might call, whom we might call Shiksha Gurus for Uddhava. And who would they be? The gopis, or more generally, the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis of Vrindavan. Okay, but back to our subject at hand. I think we can move on from here to further verses, because I would like to talk some more about the events that happen. So we can move on to texts 2 through 8. There are several verses. I think we come up to verse 12 before we have another purport. So we'll see how far we get. Translation, Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, once upon a time, the King of Heaven, Indra, being extremely proud because of his great opulence of the three worlds, transgressed the law of Vedic etiquette. Seated on his throne, he was surrounded by the Maruts, the Vasus, Rudras, Adityas, Ribhus, Vishvadevas, Sadhyas, Ashwini Kumaras, Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas, and by great saintly persons. Also surrounding him were the Vidyadharas, Apsaras, Kinnaras, Batagas, birds, and Uragas, snakes. All of them were offering Indra their respects and services, and the Apsaras and Gandharvas were dancing and singing with very sweet musical instruments. Over Indra's head was a white umbrella, as effulgent as the full moon, fanned by yak-tail whisks and served with all the paraphernalia of a great king. Indra was sitting with his wife, Sachi Devi, who occupied half the throne, when the great sage Brihaspati appeared in that assembly. Brihaspati, the best of the sages, was the spiritual master of Indra and the demigods, and was respected by the demigods and demons alike. Nevertheless, although Indra saw his spiritual master before him, he did not rise from his own seat or offer a seat to his spiritual master, nor did Indra offer him a respectful welcome. Indra did nothing to show him respect. So really this is going to be a case of not the what in the Christian tradition they would call the sin, a sin of commission, but rather a sin of omission. To not act can be a sin. In this case, King Indra is simply sitting there, and he is not acting on the fact that his spiritual master has arrived. The last verse of that series, the Sanskrit, is Vachaspatim Munivaram Surasura Namaskritam Nochachalasanat Indra Pashyan Api Sabhagatam Pashyan Api. Even though seeing, he does not respond. Okay. Imagine the situation, and imagine that you are Lord Indra. Usually in the Bhagavatam, Lord Indra is appearing not in very favorable light. In the Rig Veda, he is praised very much, and we hear about some of that praise in this verse. He's being surrounded by all of these great personages of higher realms. And what are they doing? They are praising, presumably because Lord Indra is praiseworthy. He is a glorious person. He has attained a high position, an exalted position. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say, if you see someone who is successful in this world, someone who is wealthy, someone who is famous, don't be envious. That person has earned that position. That person has become wealthy, has become famous, beautiful, and qualified in special ways. Why? Because that person, those persons, have earned their qualifications. So don't be envious. A devotee is not envious of materialists. So Indra is in this exalted position. He's being glorified. There is justification for the glorification, but it's all going to his head. His head is becoming swollen, so to say. It's our English expression of, or one of so many expressions for pride. When we become proud, we say, then we become inflated. We sometimes see cartoon characters with, you know, very large heads to indicate their pride. In this case, Indra, and we might imagine ourselves in such a situation. Picture yourself for a moment surrounded by all of these charming and special people, and they're all looking at you with great affection, and they're all looking at you and offering words of praise to you. Tendency might be there to take it all in, to take it more seriously than we should, and not to pass it on to the source of whatever qualification that we may have. All of us have different qualifications, and that is rightly so. We may have opulences, qualifications that we deserve because we have earned them. But how have we earned them? This is the difference in the mentality that we are trying to cultivate as devotees. To remember that whatever qualifications we have are borrowed, that they are given to us, they are bestowed upon us by the Lord. By the Lord's grace, they are rented out, you might say, or leased, or borrowed. And they are there to be used, and eventually they may be withdrawn at a moment's notice. They are therefore to be used in Krishna's service. And when someone appreciates whatever we do, whatever actions we're performing, that's very nice. We can take that. It is not that we should reject praise. We all thrive on the appreciation of others. A community consists in persons who appreciate each other, who appreciate that the support, the help, the qualifications, the variety also of different personalities of a community are there. So when appreciation is shown, we can take that and be thankful for it. We can take it as part of the exchange which goes on. Dadati pratigrinati, right? Rupa Goswami says that there are six ways that we show affection or love amongst devotees. Not only amongst devotees, everyone does this. Dadati, giving. Pratigrinati, accepting. Guhyamakyati, pritchati. Of course, revealing one's mind, guhyam akhyati, to tell, and prichati, to inquire. And then the two that we all like the most, bhunkte, bhojayate, especially bhunkte, we all like that. We like the eating part, the accepting of prasadam that's been offered to us. Bhojayate, literally causing others to eat. It's a causative form of the verb, bojayate, causing others, so serving enjoyable things, boga, to others. This is all part of exchange, loving exchange amongst the devotees. So, we accept, but we don't come under the illusion, or we endeavor to not be under the illusion that Indra was in, that, as we say in the negative sense, the buck stops here, that the praise comes to me, and that's where it ends. I am the praiseworthy person. No, we see ourselves as instruments, and so we learn to mentally pass that praise on to the source from which it comes. We first of all pass on whatever qualification we have to our spiritual master, and then he passes on, but we, in a sense, are passing on with him that praise to the original spiritual master, to Krishna. Kasya Heto, the question, what cause, I mentioned the other day, is a theme throughout the Bhagavatam, and it's throughout philosophy, Indian philosophy, philosophy in general. What is the cause? Why is it that things are the way they are? So we'll see that kind of thematic thread weaving through the Bhagavatam. What is the cause? So we're getting the story, the account, the narrative. What happened? Why is it that Rihaspati left? This is the reason. The reason was that Indra made a mistake. Although he saw, and this is interesting, although he saw Pashyanapi, Brihaspati standing before him, he didn't respond. Rather strange, we might say. Imagine our spiritual master walks in. We just ignore him. That would be very strange behavior indeed. But this is the particular, yes, intoxication that Indra is experiencing. And that is warned all the way in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Janmaishvarya Shuta Srivir Edamana Madapuman. Edamana Mada. The intoxicated condition, madaha. Naiva arhati abhidatum vai. Na eva arhati abhidatum. Tvam akinchana gochara. You, because this is Queen Kunti speaking to Lord Krishna, tvam, you are akinchana gochara. You are that person who is very accessible, gochara. Which means literally it means cow pasture. Go chara, a range. We say also in English, out on the range, home on the range, the range, the air, the place where the cows can chara, can go, can move. That is the go chara. And so it comes to mean range in the English sense of range of reach of access, how far you can go is a range, so to say. So, an akinchana, what does akinchana mean? Yes, without anything material. The word is also interesting in Sanskrit. Kim is a question word, meaning what. If you don't know the answer to the word what in Sanskrit, how do you answer? Very simple. You say kinchana something. It's the general unspecified answer to the question kim. And then the prefix a, on most Sanskrit words, will turn it to the opposite. So a kinchana, from something to nothing. And so in this case it becomes a description of a person who is possessive of nothing, and we understand it comes to mean having no claim to this world, no claims in this world, akinchana. So Krishna is akinchana gochara, one who is within the range of those who have nothing. The problem with Indra was that he had everything. Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, and Sri. He had all the things which are desirable in this world, and it went to his head. He became intoxicated by all of this, and so he lost it. And the consequences will be considerable. How Brihaspati will react is interesting, and that will be elaborated on in later verses. I won't go into it so much. But he, rather than saying anything, simply leaves. He could have said something. He could have given instruction to Indra at that point, which would have been beneficial both for him and all who were present. But it will mention later that he knows what's going to happen. He knows what the consequences are going to be of himself being neglected by Indra, and he decides, let it all happen. Let the demons take over. Let them rout the demigods, and let the demigods then come humbly to Lord Brahma, and so on. And one thing after another, and eventually Vritrasura will be born, will appear, and then Indra will have to fight with him. And that will all be part of the lesson for King Indra. So there's a lot of teaching that's going to go on, and in this case, Brihaspati is going to teach by his feet. There are many ways that one can teach, and in this case, Brihaspati is taking a very interesting way of teaching. In complete silence, he will very softly and unobtrusively walk out the door. Of course, Indra is going to immediately realize his mistake, and he is going to declare to all assembled that he realizes the mistake. And then he's going to go running after Brihaspati, but it will be too late. Brihaspati will be gone, and the consequences will follow. I'll end with an anecdote from Srila Prabhupada's living, which I believe is an interesting parallel, but also difference from this event involving Indra and Brihaspati. Perhaps you know the story that when Srila Prabhupada visited Paris, I don't remember which year, whether it was 72 or possibly the next year, the devotees had occasion before Srila Prabhupada's coming to Paris to help the Paris city government with a reception. I don't remember who the person was. It was some dignitary from India coming to Paris, whom the city government office, apparently they had slipped up and had not known that this dignitary would be coming, and therefore they were not prepared to receive him. So the devotees, somehow the devotees knew about him, so they went to the airport and received. I don't know if it was some diplomat was coming, so the devotees went and received him. Later, the devotees went to the office of the city government and reminded the mayor that they had done this for them, and because the city government had been thankful that their face had been saved, somebody at least had gone to receive this person, and lo and behold, it was the Hare Krishnas. Well, why not? Okay. So now the devotees went to the mayor's office and they said, in a few days our spiritual master is coming to Paris. Wouldn't you like to receive him? With an official reception. And they said, oh yes, 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 of course. what day is it, what time, and so on. So they arranged. Actually, it wasn't at the airport. They arranged for a reception, a formal reception of Srila Prabhupada by the mayor in the city hall, if I remember correctly. I wasn't there personally. I've heard about this from devotees who were there. Now, they brought Srila Prabhupada to the location, and as they were sitting, there were several people there in what would be the kind of audience. They informed Srila Prabhupada that the protocol is that when the mayor of Paris enters the room, everyone stands up. Prabhupada kind of, you know, slightly nodded affirmation that he heard the information. When the moment came that the mayor of Paris entered the room, everyone stood up, except Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada remained seated. The devotees understood. They were a little shocked, but then they understood the message that Srila Prabhupada was giving. What was the message? The message was that Srila Prabhupada, after all, was the person being received. So why is it that he should stand up for the person who is receiving him? Right? Prabhupada was the superior person here. It is the others who should stand for him. So Prabhupada in this case taught a lesson also by silence, by acting, or in this case not acting. In this case, simply remaining seated. Very interesting little incident of teaching. All right, I'm going beyond the time that is allotted, so I will stop there. We've had a little bit of overview of this chapter, a little bit of consideration of Indra's situation and how he responded, and how Brihaspati responded. So I'll stop there. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Ho. If there's any comment or question or discussion, we can have. Yes?
So in terms of accepting an offense, if someone doesn't follow Vaishnava Sadachar or proper etiquette, they may do something that offends you.
That microphone doesn't seem to be working, is it?
Yeah. If you accept the offense, isn't that an impediment in your own spiritual life as opposed to tolerating?
If someone offends you and you take it as an offense, is that an obstacle in your own progress? We understand that devotees, theoretically, don't take offense because they see that whatever is coming to them is meant to come to them. And that the person who is speaking or acting a certain way is acting simply as an instrument and is not the final cause of whatever it may be. So that's the general, you know, ideal position from which we go to sort of work our way down. Okay, that's the ideal. Now, where do we go from there? Last time we talked, or the time before, we talked something about the necessity on some occasions to respond, to react, not for oneself, but possibly for the sake of the person saying something that's not beneficial for them. In that case, one is ideally, again, responding for the benefit of that person. And then below that, one may, if one's consciousness is not so ideal. One may respond in various ways out of various degrees of defensiveness. And then you can say, to the degree that one is feeling personally attacked, to that degree one will respond and one will be inhibiting one's own spiritual progress to the extent one's taking it, as we say, personally. It's hard, though, to speak generally when we often need to see what are specifics before we know what is the reasonable response to what is the question. So in this case, I want to kind of take shelter of that. It is a bit general, and therefore it's hard to say what will be the exact result for a person, depending on what sort of response to what sort of action. There are too many factors there to say something intelligible to, I believe. Okay. Yes, Maharaj.
Being worshipped by all these people, are they at any time responsible for his offense? In other words, is there at any time where people who are worshipping are at fault for too much worship, and thus the other person may, you know, he may get puffed up or whatever? So the people worshipping, are there at any time an offense?
Is there an offense for overly worshipping? Are they responsible for are they responsible for going too far, over the top? I think here the question would depend on who's being worshipped, first of all. To worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, to overdo one's worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead worship, it's hard for me at this point to think of a case of somebody overdoing the worship. Although, again, there will be always questions of circumstance, whether worship is appropriate, whether Krishna is pleased by a certain kind of worship in a particular situation. I suspect that your question, where it's coming from, is the experience we've had in our society of extensive and elaborate worship of gurus who have then later appeared to allow that to go to their heads. Is that the context? Dare I ask? But your question is interesting. Are those who are doing the worship in some way responsible? Does anyone else want to respond on that? I'm at a loss to think of a reasonable response on the top of my head to this. Let's see what Lakshmi Nishinga wants to say.
Overpraise is worse.
Oh, overpraise is worse. Yeah. Uh-huh. Interesting.
I seem to remember that.
Right.
So stays. What is the danger? Danger is vrishat. You will fall down from your situation where it is. But that is also related, I was thinking, in another angle that, like Srila Bindavan Das Thakur explains, that while worship is going on, if something contradicts, not according to rules, regulation, Srila Bhakshit Siddhanta Thakur gives a reference of Sanatana Goswami's verse, Pratamastu Gurum Pujya, Tatasya Mama Archanam, You know that, you all know that verse.
Hari Bhakti Vilas.
Yes, that Krishna is speaking that somebody has to worship Guru first before he worship me. Otherwise, his result of worshipping me is fruitless or useless, in other words.
Kurvan Siddhim Avapnoti.
Kurvan Siddhim Avapnoti.
Hyanyata Nishpala.
Nishpalam Bhavet. Or fruitless, in other words. But at the same time, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur also says that while this worship is going on, if the criticism is taking place, then whoever is involved, not respecting the others, they are also going to suffer
implicated
with him. Ihate je tar paksha hoy. Whoever is supporting that. So whether it's good or bad, either way they get the fruits.
So the bottom line is that worship can also be dangerous. If it's not properly done in the right balance. Thank you. Yes.
Desires, you know, fruit. We all have that as an issue. That's why we're here. We have fruit of desires. To
microphone
degree,
close.
I guess to some degree we're all here because we have fruit of desires. And to maybe possibly to the degree that we've indulged in that.
Okay, you're bringing in the point of mixed motive. So if one is worshiping with mixed motive, there may be some problem with that, some reaction, or there may be some purification required before the full benefit of the worship is there. Yes.
Sort of water and anartha in the heart. In other words, if you accept it because you're being worshipped because of some material quality and you think, yes, I am such and such, but if you accept worship, yes, I am the representative of Krishna for these people, therefore I accept it on Krishna's behalf and offer it to Krishna, but if you accept the material aspect, then you're watering your anarthas are getting watered.
Could be watered, depending on, you could say, the spiritual caliber of the person receiving the worship. The person receiving the worship could theoretically, and I would say most certainly in the case of Srila Prabhupada receiving all of our worship, so much of the time has been the case, he understood. They are worshiping with so many motives, sometimes approaching with so many motives, with so many aspirations other than spiritual aspirations. That's all right. From his perspective, that's all right. They are still progressing, and in his case, he was, we can understand, absorbing whatever impurity was there, not being affected by it, and purifying all of us.
That was my point, though. He wasn't accepting the material aspect on his own behalf. Yes, I am so saintly, I am so and taking it to heart.
Yeah. Mother Lakshmi Moni, you wanted to...
I just was remembering an experience in a temple a long time ago where one woman was receiving worship and she was not qualified to receive it, but she was receiving it because people thought she was very wealthy. And when it all came down, because it went on for quite some time, and the worship was pretty elaborate. I mean, you know, she was brought into the temple in the morning, and the chair, she was offered the food before everybody. Sannyasi, didn't matter who it was, she got it. And so, and she was ordering everybody around, you know, whatever she said went, and some of the things that she said were contrary to principles that we already knew were not to be broken. And when it all came down, Prabhupada had different reactions to the different people who were involved. And to the people who didn't know better, were young, who were new, he he actually praised them because they stayed and followed and served. Hmm. But the people who were senior and should have known and should have stopped it, he was furious.
Hmm. Interesting.
So he had a different, you know, he had different perspectives for the different people who were in. I would imagine that also in our, you know, we're beginning actually to, and we may not have necessary discrimination, but we can't be like that. You know what I mean? We have to be mature and responsible, and we have to act in a responsible way somewhere along the line, I would think.
Yes. I would just add, and maybe we should end there because the battery is running out on that microphone, that always a good place to start with such questions is Nectar of Instruction. It's our 11 essential verses of how to be a devotee and how to act. I find it, as Hanumat Prashika Swami calls it, 5 minutes with a genius. If you read the translations of the Nectar of Instruction, you're set for the day. So there we have, we have two things. We have action in terms of equality, and that's particularly in relation to the verse that I mentioned, the Dati Pratigrinati. There is a sense of equality implied in that verse. And then the other one, which has to do with offering of something, offering of respect, has to do with hierarchy. Krishneti yasya giritang manasa driyeta dikshasti chet pranativischa vajantamisham shushushaya vajanavigya mananya manya nindadi shunya ritam ipsita sangalabdhya. It gives a little rule of thumb. Someone is chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna iti. Someone is pronouncing the name Krishna. Give them respect. How? Manasa, in the mind, by the mind. Diksha asti chet, if someone is initiated. Offer them respect. How? Pranati, by physically showing respect. Shushu shaya, and by means of showing eagerness to hear. Shushu shaya, bhajana vigyamananyam anya nindadi shunya hrida. That person whose heart is completely free from the inclination to find fault in others, that person we want to very eagerly hear from. So that's a kind of rule of thumb that we can go by for this question. Okay. I think we should stop there, but we'll discuss further. There will be more opportunities. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granta Rasa Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.